The Holy Gospel of our Saviour Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "You've heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you're angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say you fall, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will never get out until you pay the last penny. You've heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go to hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you've heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. I speak in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please let me start by expressing my delight to be back in West Hartford. My wife and I and my son Luke had 7 very happy years when I was the Dean of Hartford Seminary. And I'm now Dean and President of Virginia Theological Seminary. Am I standing in the wrong place? Shall I go to the pulpit?
Try it again. Say something nice about it.
And I want to take this opportunity to say how much I appreciate Bob Hooper. And the reason why I need to say that is because my opportunity to serve as the Dean and President of Virginia Theological Seminary was made possible by Bob Hooper, who put my name into the process. And the next thing I knew, I had a phone call from a headhunter saying, "Would you consider this opportunity?" So I not only admire him as a rector, and I really do, I think he's an exceptional presence who brings authenticity and humor to ministry, but I'm also personally grateful for 10 wonderful years at his alma mater down in Virginia. Okay, we're going to try something, right? And I've been told by Bob you're up for this. I want you all, please, and if you know this, you're not to spoil it, okay? Let's have an understanding. Half of you will know it, so just play along. I want you all to say silt 5 times. So silt, 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 silt. Very good. Now I want you to spell the word silk. S-I-L-K. What do cows drink? Now, those who said water knew it, so okay. Right, 3/4 of you said milk. And as some correctly pointed out, that's not the right answer, actually. Cows produce milk, but they drink water. So what's that an illustration of? Well, it's an illustration of the power of the past to influence the present. And by just a simple little exercise of association, you all ended up saying something you know is false. Namely, cows drink milk. Okay, the way to read the Sermon on the Mount, these initial verses, what Jesus does is he is determined to explain to us the power of the past on the present. And he starts with that commandment, you really shouldn't murder. And of course, at that point, we all nod. Murdering is, you know, makes life a tad complicated. So it's highly unwise. And then Jesus moves on and says, you shouldn't hate. And then he goes even further and says, you shouldn't even insult. And then he goes a step further and says, you shouldn't even say, you fool. So what's going on here? Remember, murder, hate, insult, you fool. These are words you use not in your friends, unless you're a bit peculiar. These are words and attitudes you say of people you feel have wronged you. People you're angry with. People you're annoyed with. People, typically, you feel you have a legitimate grievance about. And Jesus says, don't go there. Now, why does Jesus say that? Jesus says it because when we allow ourselves to be so affected by something in the past that we become bitter and we become full of hatred, 98% of the time, the person you're angry about has long since disappeared and isn't affected by our hate and bitterness, but it torments us. It tears us up inside. It messes us up. It makes it really difficult for us to enjoy the present. And Jesus says, just don't go there. And it's amazing how we can hold on to a grudge. You know, the parent who neglected us, the spouse who left us, the sibling who wronged us one Thanksgiving, the person at work we're still mad with because they got the promotion and we didn't. And we hold on these grudges, and we can even do so when they've long since left this mortal coil and gone to glory. We can still be mad about the parent who neglected us. And Jesus just says, give it up. Just don't go there. Move beyond it. Do you know, it's very interesting. Jesus follows these admonitions with a rule, which actually is part of our liturgy. Jesus says that before you have the privilege of giving to God, and remember, that's how giving in the Sermon on the Mount is portrayed. It's a huge honor to give something of ourselves to God. Before you're allowed to do that, Jesus says, first of all, you need to be reconciled with the person you're mad with. So what I often think we should do at the just before the peace, notice the structure of our liturgy is out of Matthew 5. What we actually get is we get the prayers, and then before the offering, we do the peace. Our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters have just made the change in their liturgy to actually fit in with the Episcopal Church. Because it's what Matthew 5 teaches. Before you give to God, you've got to be reconciled with people you are mad or unhappy with. You've got to be at peace with your neighbour. You've got to invite the peace of the Lord into that space. And I think what we probably should do is we should provide an array of cell phones, hand them out at the peace, and everybody should dial up the person you're most mad with that week. And you dial the number, and then you all sit on the phones, and at the same time, we all say, I've got to that point in the liturgy when I've got to say, the peace of the Lord be with you, and slam it shut. Because that is literally what you're supposed to do. That's what Matthew 5 teaches. But of course, underpinning this is a very serious, life-enhancing point. You know, the peace feels like the seventh inning shuffle. You know, sitting is the new smoking, it's a chance to stand up, move around a little bit, shake hands and so on. And it's a great moment. We need a little break. We've been talked at and all that sort of stuff for too long. But actually, theologically, the work it's doing is huge. And what I want you to do in the peace this morning is, sure, say hello, catch up, all celebrate the fact that Bob was on TV last night as the great sledding king. Right, so do all that too. But also in the symbolism of reaching out to your neighbour and saying, "The peace of the Lord be with you," take a moment to think of somebody who's hurt you, somebody with whom you're not reconciled, somebody that you're still angry about. And in the symbolism of touching a neighbour, invite the peace of the Lord into that pain. And try this week, next week, and the week after to give that pain over to God. To really let the peace of the Lord come into the past so we can be freed up to be agents of love and healthiness in the present. And why is this important? It's important because otherwise you might imagine that cows drink milk when in actual fact they drink water. Amen. Amen.